Sam Borden, you've just published this profile of Boban Marjanovic of the Dallas Mavericks, and you titled it, Why Boban is Your Favorite Player's Favorite Player. So, after getting quality time with him, what's he actually like?
You know, Pablo, it's funny. Like, I've been fortunate to spend some time with a number of athletes with amazing personalities.
Sam Borden is a global sports correspondent for ESPN.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic comes to mind. Martellus Bennett comes to mind. But I have to be honest, I have never spent time with an athlete where I have come away feeling better about myself, about the world, about everything in general than the time that I spent with Boban.
They say I talk too much on the bench.
Hey! I want to speak with everybody, and I am man of the people. Big friendly giant.
This is a guy that just... positivity is like exploding out of him.
These guys in the fire.
And that was what everybody that I had spoken to about him said.
He is as beloved as any player in the NBA by his teammates.
If you ask anybody about Boban, I'm just like, man, he's the greatest dude you know.
And after spending time with him myself, it is 100% true. This is a guy that basically lights up the world.
I feel amazing, you know, first time on TV. Hi, mom, hi, dad, hi, family.
Marjanovic throws it down.
Don't mess with the Boban. Boban Marjanovic has the place jumping.
The Dallas Mavericks are basically lighting up the favored Los Angeles Clippers in their playoff series right now, up 2-0. And there is no one playing better than their superstar guard, Luka Doncic. But tonight, when you watch Game 3 of this series, it's worth looking off the court, towards the bench, where a 7'4" giant is an asset to this team, and to Doncic in particular, in ways that can't quite be measured. Today, the Ballad of Boban, whose cultural impact is even bigger than you think. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Friday, May 28th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by UKG. Our purpose is people. Sam Borden, thank you for coming back on the show.
Absolutely, Pablo. Great to be with you.
So I got to say, Sam, I am jealous of this assignment. I am jealous because usually writers torture themselves to get a good story, but you delivered the definitive Boban profile, and you sound honestly like you just left the spa. You feel good, you have a glow, you feel lighter, as you say. And what's crazy is that Boban seems to make so many people in this incredibly competitive, ego-driven sport feel exactly the same way.
No, it's like endless. One of my favorites was the hot mic on the court in a game between the Mavs and the Clippers last year, where Marcus Morris is standing next to Boban and literally says to him, "You're my favorite player. You're my guy."
Might be the nicest guy I ever met, man. I give you that, baby. You're my guy. My guy.
And by the way, they're on opposite teams at that moment.
And Marcus Morris, to be clear for those uninitiated, that guy is kind of famously ornery. He's kind of a jerk. He's a trash talker. But even Boban has melted his heart.
Totally. And if you look at the clip, the best part about it is that Boban is like beaming while he's hearing this, you know, like it really means something to him. There is obviously the subreddit that's dedicated to pictures of Boban holding like normal sized objects in his massive hands, which is amazing.
Of course, there's a subreddit entirely about that.
Of course, yeah. So if you could spend some time there, that's always entertaining. But even within the league where, you know, everybody's pretty tall, there is this sort of different level. And one of the things that I always love to watch is the video of Boban holding the ball high above his head. You know, he's got like a 94-inch wingspan. And Anthony Davis, who's pretty tall, by the way, like jumping up and trying to get it and being unable to get it and everybody laughing. And then, of course, there are the like several times where the ball has gotten wedged behind the shot clock, which is several feet above the backboard. And even like the announcers on TV will be like, "Oh, man, let's get Boban.
Oh, we're going to need Boban again.
Where's Boban?"
and Boban comes like trotting over and grabs like, you know, a little broomstick or something and just like reaches up, taps it down, of course, like goes back to the bench because literally there's nobody else in the building who could step up and do a job like that. And like more than happy to do it. Honestly, I think in this landscape, in the landscape of professional sports, to be universally loved is really, really rare.
You say in this piece that Boban's warmth, it comes from being comfortable in his own skin. And that is not necessarily what I would assume having talked to seven-footers in the past.
No, you're 100% right, Pablo. And honestly, that is one of the things that attracted me to the story from the very beginning is there are a lot of people in professional sports who are different, right? Boban has been dealing with being essentially a giant for his entire life. I mean, there's like a picture of him in first grade where he's the same height as the teacher. And he is so comfortable with it. He wants people to see that he's comfortable with it. The idea that if this man who is 7'4", who has a size 20 shoe, who can literally struggle to find clothes to fit him, if he can be comfortable with what he's got going on, everybody should be able to be comfortable with what they've got going on.
So what Boban does in all of his both endearing and alien qualities, what does that do for his team come game time?
You know, it's one of those things that I think is probably incalculable. I mean, there's clearly no metric for, you know, sort of energy provided or positivity brought in the analytics landscape. Everybody who's been on a team that Boban's ever played for says that he brings an element to the locker room that is incredibly unique. He is a guy who, despite the fact that he barely plays 10 minutes a night, oftentimes doesn't even play at all, he brings a lightness to what is a difficult task. I mean, the Mavericks are in the playoffs right now. They're trying to get out of the first round for the first time in more than a decade. That's a big ask. But Boban is the kind of guy who makes everybody remember that this is supposed to be fun. And more often than not, when athletes are having fun, they're usually playing well.
Yeah, so Boban, to be clear here, he's been averaging 4.7 points a game, 3.9 rebounds, 8.2 minutes a night over the regular season. That is obviously not a lot. He's 32 years old. This is his fifth team. But I love the idea that he is appreciated in ways that truly can't be measured, Sam. When this guy is around, people enjoy work more. And anybody who's ever been in an office, you know fundamentally how crucial that can be.
I think that's really well said. It's funny, you know, getting an interview with Mark Cuban for this piece was interesting to me because, like, I don't know too many team owners that would be willing to jump on the phone and talk about a player on their team who's like the 10th or 11th man. But Cuban had a lot to say about Boban.
He's got the size of Andre the Giant, where you expect him to, you know, be someone who could just crush you with his bare hands. And he's got the heart of a child, right, where he just wants to give you a hug. And that's incongruent, you know, and that stands out.
And I think that whether you're talking about, you know, a pregame attitude in the locker room or more substantively, a mentorship of a young superstar like Luka Doncic, Boban's role to the Mavericks' success is significant.
On Luka, who has been destroying, just obliterating the Los Angeles Clippers as the Mavericks go to 2-0 and return home in this series tonight, what does Boban's presence mean to him?
You know, I think in some ways, like, as much a mentor as maybe like a spirit guide, if that makes any sense. Because I think that, you know, look, Luka and Boban come from a similar part of the world. Boban is Serbian, Luka is Slovenian. That shared heritage coming from that same part of the world has been a real driving force in making them fast friends. Boban is 32, right? Luka is 22. Boban was sort of a late bloomer, didn't really even get into basketball until he was like early in his teens. Luka was a star from the get-go, played for Real Madrid, and then came right over to the NBA. So their background in terms of basketball isn't identical, but I think what Luka has been able to take from Boban is the idea that this is fun, that you are experiencing something that most people from our part of the world don't get to experience. There's a terrific video of the two of them arm in arm around the free throw line before a game doing like a Eastern European dance that went viral. There is nothing more valuable than making somebody enjoy the thing that they're doing. And that's what Boban does for Luka. I mean, he's by far the biggest star on the Mavericks.
Yes.
And Boban is allowing him to feel as though he's here to have fun, not here to carry the team.
Luka is amazing. He's an amazing kid, amazing player, like smart guy. We listen to the same music. We have so much fun together on the court, spending time with him around. It's like I'm blessed.
One of the things that stuck with me from our interview with Tobias Harris, who's like Boban's best friend, he was saying that every time that he and Boban are out to dinner, people will come up to them and will ask for a photo. And inevitably, Tobias is like, well, can you come back after we're finished? And Boban will cut him off and say, you know, you don't know what they're going through right now. You don't know what this means to them. Stand up. Let's take this picture. And he says that literally every time he sort of is reminded of the idea that like Boban understands maybe more than most famous people that he has the ability to give somebody else joy simply by standing next to them and smiling for a photo. And that's something that I think a lot of athletes and a lot of famous people take for granted. And it's something that Boban never takes for granted.
Another thing that Boban does not take for granted, Sam, and I think you know where I'm going here, is soup.
Yeah.
So tell me about the soup thing.
So Boban loves soup, like loves it more than anything, would love to have it for three meals a day. In fact, he even says in our interview.
Yeah, I love soup so much. This is like culture in my country, you know, like every meal starts with a soup. For breakfast, not allowed, but for lunch and dinner, I try to eat soup and I really love it.
But Tobias says that Boban's love for soup is so deep.
No matter what restaurant we go to, no matter what it is, we can go to like a Popeyes or whatever. He's always gonna ask, do you have soup? No matter where it is. He loves soup. Loves.
By the way, Popeyes never has soup.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But I think Boban, again, not at all afraid to just, you know, let his flag fly, whatever that is. In this case, it's soup.
All right, Sam, after a break, how Boban came to America, and how he fits into a league that's seen big men like him go extinct.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So, Sam, I want to rewind and understand how Boban got here. I mean, I know he comes from Serbia, but what was his life like over there?
You know, Pablo, it's interesting, and I think it's important to examine and to understand a little bit about where he comes from, because I think it plays a significant part in the personality that he has now. So Boban grew up in a small village in Serbia, Eastern Serbia, and he grew up largely during a time of incredible war. The former Yugoslavia collapsed, and it was basically a decade of intense civil war. Some people have said it was the bloodiest war since World War II.
NATO attacks have begun against Serbian forces.
The offensive was launched to force Serbian troops out of the province of Kosovo.
What do you remember about being in Serbia when the bombings were happening? Is it something that stands out for you?
The first day when we find out it something happened like that, we doesn't know what is be like tomorrow. Are we expect tomorrow? We don't expect tomorrow, and this is like the scary part. Everybody slept in the same room, like me, my mom, and sister, and me, because We want to be together. In case something happened, we want to be together.
It was the only time where I saw him even be a little bit uncomfortable about what it was like to hear the sounds of NATO bombings taking place literally right outside his house.
It was like super stressful because you never know what you can expect, where you can go and what you can do. When you hear that sound of the planes, like plane coming super fast, you scare, you try to find like where you can cover, where you can go. I was one time was in that situation, they coming super fast, like under my head. I was like, wow, is this plane or it's a bomb? You never know. I was like start to running, like I was like where I can go, because I was middle of street. I hope so. I never feel that again in my life, because you never know if you survive till tomorrow.
It was something that profoundly shaped him, and I think it's something that he carries with him to this day.
So how is it, Sam, that the deadliest war in Europe since World War II ends up producing this beacon of radiating joy?
No, absolutely. I mean, that's something that you can carry with you in a negative way. It can sort of shape a cynical view of the world. Or you can go the other direction, like Boban did, and say, I escaped from that. That's in the past now. And I'm going to appreciate every single thing that happens to me ever since. And I think that that's really where he's gone with it. I mean, this was a kid who wasn't necessarily into basketball, really was more into soccer and volleyball, kind of fell into basketball when he was, you know, 10, 11 years old, and didn't even realize that being so tall gave him an advantage. I mean, honestly, Pablo, one of the things that really stuck out with me was he said it was like 3 years after he started playing basketball that it even occurred to him to try to dunk the ball.
I mean, yeah, like that detail, I still can't wrap my mind around, because at some point you just figure, man, I'm tall, I can do this, but it never occurs to him.
No, totally. And he said, I mean, I literally said it just the way you did. Like, I'm sorry, Boban, that doesn't make any sense to me. Can you please explain that? And he said, he never thought of himself as different from the other kids.
I never figured out in my head I'm really tall. Like, you know, I never think about that because I was a kid. You know, like, I was thinking I'm average high.
Yeah, sure, he's tall, but everybody else was sort of dribbling and learning how to pass and shoot. And so he just sort of did the same and assumed that that was what he was supposed to do. It wasn't until one day when he was about 15 that a coach said to him, hey, Boban, you go over to the rim and dunk the ball.
My coach tell me, hey, you're supposed to dunk every ball. I was like, how?
The coach is like, just go try it. So Boban like runs over and dunks without doing much more than like a little bunny hop off the ground. And Boban says that he was like, oh my God, wow, this is super easy. And the coach is like, yeah, it's super easy. Now do it with two hands.
I was like, no way I can dunk with two hands. And I dunk with two hands. First time in my life, I was like, wow, this feels so amazing.
Boban's like screaming, this feels so amazing. And it's like, he's telling me this story and he's like laughing so hard as he's telling it.
After that, I start to dunk everything. I go like, you know, if I cannot dunk, I go to dunk. And it was like super exciting.
That was the moment when he realized A, that he was good, and B, that this could be a future. Like, this could be something that takes him out of Serbia, that takes him out of Europe, that takes him into a different kind of life. And I think he looked at that as a gift, you know, not as a burden, but as a gift. And I think that's been what has carried him emotionally ever since.
So after Boban embraces his gifts, I know he ends up going pro at 17. He bounces around the European leagues for a bit before going on a run in the Serbian league where he's the MVP 3 years in a row, and he therefore winds up on American radars, Sam. And that gets him signed in 2015 by the very internationally savvy San Antonio Spurs. How does Boban fit into the NBA once he arrives there?
I mean, he fit in very quickly. He got to know Tim Duncan, another guy who, despite being a star, was known for a more of a low-key, modest approach to his career. And I think that the two of them clicked. Early on, Boban had some success. He played well with the Spurs. He had a couple of games where, you know, he really dominated and even helped the Spurs to, you know, big comeback wins. But very quickly, it became clear that the NBA was shifting away from the model that people might remember from like the 90s, where the big man was a constant on every team, you know, Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, guys like that. And it was shifting more to the NBA we know now, where big players have to be able to play all over the court. And so while Boban was big, he wasn't, you know, a Giannis kind of player. He right. wasn't a guy who was going to be able to stand outside the three-point arc and dominate from there. And so I think what he found fairly quickly was, while he was filling a role on the Spurs or whatever team he was on, it was a role that wasn't in nearly as much demand as it used to be in the NBA.
Yeah, in that very highly prescribed role that you described, I mean, it's worth noting here, he has, I think, the 11th highest efficiency rating ever. Like, that is still one of his claims to fame, but the way the game has expected more and more and more and more from its giants, that is where Boban's limitations come in. Is he frustrated at all by the idea that, man, in the 80s or the 90s, a guy like him would have had a vastly different career than he certainly does now in 2021?
No, no doubt. It's actually funny. I think the truth is, it's other people who are more upset for him than Boban is upset for himself.
Do you ever feel like the kind of game you play was built for a different time period?
I don't know. Like, to be honest, like, I heard that so many times. But, you know, like, I live in this world. And, of course, maybe, like, that, like, 15 years ago, it's been much easier for me. But still, you need to find your own way in this world, you know, never mind how...
He says he has very little interest in living in any world other than the world he's living in right now. He says, you know what? You need to find your way in the time in which you live. And he's finding his way. So he's not able to play 30 minutes a night. He's going to take advantage of the minutes he gets. And as you said, Pablo, he's incredibly efficient when he's on the floor. I mean, when he's on the floor, he makes the most of his time. He just doesn't get that much time to make the most of.
Yeah, he's not going to be playing 30 minutes a game. He's not going to be shooting threes. He's not going to be protecting the rim end to end, keeping up with little guards. But I would say that in other ways, he is absolutely a star. I mean, in the pop culture landscape, Sam, it's hard to deny that the guy has made an impact.
No, there's no doubt. And I think one of the things that I love the most about interviewing him, and one of the things, frankly, that like I shared with my daughters about his attitude, was that he just rolls with what comes, right? I mean, like, how many people do we know that would be really focused on, like, why aren't I getting more minutes? Why aren't I getting more run? And instead, he just looks at it as, like, it's another experience for me. Whatever the experience is, I can't control that. I'm just going to enjoy the experience as it happens, you know? There are all of these other components to being Boban that go far beyond what he does on the court. You know, here's Boban playing arcade basketball at the State Fair of Texas, right? Here's Boban going fishing with, you know, other players while in the NBA bubble. Here's Boban on an ATV.
Love it, look! Oh! Whoa!
Here's Boban making a cherry pie with his wife and two kids and giving himself, like, a portion that's, like, four times the size of the other portions.
It's Boban size and my wife's size.
It's a Boban-sized portion. He just laughs. He smiles. He enjoys. To me, that's an incredible lesson, and that's an incredibly powerful sentiment for any person, let alone a professional athlete, to put forth in the way that he does.
And so here is Boban getting murdered by Keanu Reeves with a book in John Wick.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, big screen, you know, John Wick.
You think you can take John Wick? You've got a nasty surprise coming.
Which is a crazy story. I mean, like, you know, he literally just got a text from his manager being like, so the folks from John Wick are looking for, you know, like an Andre the Giant friendly figure who's going to be an assassin. Are you interested?
I was like, hey, they want you to be in John Wick movie. I was like, John Wick? And I cannot believe like what they read right now. I was like, yes, yes, yes. I'll write like 7 times, yes, 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 yes.
Which is, by the way, roughly my response when I learned that Boban was going to be in John Wick 3.
Totally, exactly the same for me.
Consider your origins. You were not made to live as brutes.
You sure this is what you want to do?
14 million, it's a lot of money.
Not if you can't spend it.
You know, in the movies, I want to be like bad guy. No, like in personal life, I'm a good guy.
And obviously, like, he's embraced this relationship that he has with Tobias Harris. I mean, they're in Goldfish commercials, which are absolutely hilarious. And they had this YouTube series, the Bobby and Toby series, which is incredible. Pablo, I don't know how deep into the Bobby and Toby, you know, landscape you are, but...
Oh, yeah, I've fallen into that rabbit hole, absolutely.
Yeah, for those who haven't yet gone down that rabbit hole, let me recommend, as the most choice episode, the one where Boban and Tobias go to a soul cycle. And, you know, this entire premise came from a real life thing where Boban tried to go to a soul cycle and couldn't take part in the classes that day because they didn't have a big enough shoe for him to wear.
Tell them what you said.
I didn't say.
We walk in there and soul cycle ain't got a size 20. Bigger here can't get on a bike. And that's why he said.
Anyway, Boban and Tobias in this episode go to a soul cycle, and it turns out, in a sudden twist of fate, that Boban is going to teach the class. And so we then see Boban like screaming at these people in the class, including Tobias.
I'm not as good as her!
Saying sort of random, bizarre, but really inspiring gibberish like, Texas, yeah, I like their goat milk, but don't listen to the goats. Listen to me. His personality is larger than life. And despite the fact that he isn't necessarily a star on the court, there is literally no doubt that he's one of the biggest stars in the NBA.
So what do you think is next in Boban's life? What do you think he wants to do, whether it's basketball or otherwise?
You know, I think obviously there is an attraction to Hollywood and entertainment, you know, like in addition to the John Wick thing, you know, Shaquille O'Neal on Inside the NBA has been all over him for sort of the way that he looks and sounds like Lurch from the Addams Family.
Yes.
And Boban leans into that and does a tremendous, you know, you rang, you know, impression.
Before we let you go. I got to hear it. You rang.
You rang.
Yeah.
I love you, Boban.
I love you, Boban. Thank you, brother. Yeah.
I can be that right person for that, for Adam's family. Guys, call Boban.
He loves it. And Mark Cuban said, like, if there's a Princess Bride reboot, he feels as though, like, Boban is perfect for it.
The biggest shame in life, I think, for Bobby is that Princess Bride was 30 years before his time. If they do Princess Bride 2 or the remake, that could propel his acting career to new heights.
What do you think Boban's legacy in the NBA will be?
He'll be the greatest actor to ever come out of the NBA. He'll have a longer career as an actor over the next 30 years than he had as an NBA player.
And I could totally see it happening, you know? Like, I'm pretty sure that 15 years from now, Boban will have a very robust IMDb page. I think there's no doubt about that.
So, Sam, what do you think Boban, in the end, what does he want to be known for?
You know, I think he wants to be known for being who he is. I remember at one point we were talking and he mentioned his ears, right? And Boban's ears, if you look at a photo of him, you'll see right away, they are these like giant bulbous masses, like, you know, popping out from the sides of his head, like heads of broccoli or something like that.
I can go to the doctor right now and fix my ears, like nose and everything, like, hey.
I could take a little bit here. I could maybe do a little bit to the nose. And he's like tracing, you know, cuts around his face. But then he says, but why? Never be shy. Never be shy about who you are.
God give you like what you're supposed to have. You need to carry that on the best way you can to become some person who you want to be. Never be shy to be who you are. You know, this is the main thing. Like, if you're tall, you're tall.
He's not going to be ashamed to be who he is. And I think if we can take anything away from the magic of Boban, it's that. If you're tall, you're tall. And that's it.
Sam Borden, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you.
Okay, up next, we go from the most joyful person in the NBA to the most joyful mom and soccer expert on Twitter.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another story I want you to know. We Americans think the Super Bowl is a big deal, and it is absolutely a big deal. But tomorrow is the UEFA Champions League final, which is the single most watched annual sporting event in the world every year. And while the Champions League features the best teams from all across the European leagues, this year the two finalists are from the biggest league of all, the English Premier League. So with Manchester City taking on Chelsea tomorrow in Porto, Portugal, and with pretty much the entire world watching, we called up the biggest EPL fan that we know and the mother of our dear friend Mina, Sunmin Kimes. Sunmin Kimes, the most popular guest we ever have on ESPN Daily. It's good to talk to you again.
Same here.
Unfortunately, your beloved side, Tottenham Hotspur, they didn't make the Champions League final this year. And instead, we're going to be watching two of Tottenham's rivals, Manchester City taking on Chelsea, Sunmin. Hundreds of millions of people around the globe will all be watching this thing. How are you going to be watching?
As always, I'm watching the final, either the Super Bowl or Champions League and NBA final. I always watch myself because I don't want to get interrupted by talking or, you know, so I just want to watch every single thing. So I watch by myself.
Were you surprised, Sunmin, to see these two teams in specific make the final?
I'm not surprised at all with Man City because their record, as you know, was just amazing this year, and probably about 19 points ahead of Chelsea out of 38 games. So not surprised at all with the City. But I thought probably one from Bundesliga or La Liga, you know, against Man City, but Chelsea made it. Mm-hmm.
When I watch Man City, it's hard not to be distracted by Kevin De Bruyne.
De Bruyne!
What makes him such a transcendent player?
He's one of my favorite players in the world, and just I'm mesmerized by his skill set. I mean, he's elegant and just poised to take your time, just either long ball or short ball. Just amazing. I think it's, in my opinion, it's God-given talent. It's just he's born with it, and even our striker, you know, Harry Kane said the other day in an interview, if you can play along with KDB, that's a striker's dream. So his nickname is a creator in chief. He's an architect. So I just love him. I just love to see his play.
So the other big name on Man City is their manager, of course, Pep Guardiola. And he's already won two Champions League titles from his time managing Barca. But what makes this team, do you think, a Pep Guardiola coach team? What do they do well?
Because Man City never won any Champions League title in 66 years of history. So they won this so bad. And they were, of course, looking for the best possible manager. And so they signed him. Also, his positional rotation just amazing. So in other words, one midfielder moves to defend and another player fills that position. So what they call the positional rotation is just unreal.
So Pep Guardiola, really good at rotating positions in that way. Chelsea, on the other hand, they've been rotating managers because Frank Lampard was their manager. He got sacked a few months ago. Thomas Tuchel has taken over for him. How have they been able to turn their team around given that chaos at manager?
Lampard was a great player, but as a manager, I think he lacks something. I cannot really pinpoint. But Tuchel is one of the best soccer managers in the world, and his humble origin. As a 17-year-old, he played a so tiny team in Germany, and then he got injured, so he had to end his career at age 25. So he's just a humble origin from small, tiny team club, so he can relate to the young players and just his importance for the players, just find out that single player, individual players' knack and talent, and then he cultivate and utilize that that player's specialty. So I think he's doing real well. Mm-hmm.
I also like that you put Frank Lampard on blast, Sunmin. I appreciated that. So the one young player that I'm obsessed with on Chelsea, of course, is Christian Pulisic because he's the American. He's supposed to be the next big thing. How has he played this season in your eyes? How has he lived up to the hype or not?
Yeah, we as Americans expected him so much. And as always in life, when your expectation is so high, you get disappointed easily or something. So he had an injury, but also Lampard didn't see his ability or talent. I don't know what it is, but he benched him a lot. And so we were not very happy. And himself was really questioning himself. Am I a good player? Or am I really fit in this club? And later on, Thomas Tuchel came in. He just used him a lot. He's not day in and day out player, but he's a very meaningful player. And he's only 23. From small town Hershey, Pennsylvania, to the one of the biggest club in the world right now. His future is bright, and we all cheer for him and support him.
So let's look into the future here at the end, Sunmin. I need a prediction from you. Who wins tomorrow, and what's the score going to be?
Oh, well, I would say I'll go for Man City and 2-1. Personally, I don't like overtime. I even don't like more the penalty shootout for the most highest and prestigious championship in shootout. Oh my gosh, either one glory and joy and the other pain and anguish. I just emotionally, I just can't handle that. So hopefully regular 90 minute and then 2-1 City. That's my prediction, but we'll see.
So lastly, I want to also note something. We asked you, I asked you, let's be honest, to make a Photoshop of your choosing for us. And you're incredible at Photoshopping things on Twitter, at Sunmin Kimes. Go see her artwork. But you came through with what I consider one of the great artworks of our time. It is a creation of myself as both Pep Guardiola and Thomas Tuchel. So which one do you think I am more like?
Okay, first of all, you and Thomas Tuchel have hair, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, also, Thomas Tuchel is younger than Pep Guardiola, 3 years younger. So you're younger. And Thomas Tuchel is more personable and seems like a more fun-loving compared to, you know, the Pep. Pep is Bill Belichick, and then Thomas Tuchel is probably would say McVay. I don't know. So you are just Thomas Tuchel. And Pablo, do me a favor. If Violet wants to play soccer later on, be her team's coach.
Sunmen, I vow to you, if Violet ever has the soccer career of Mina Kimes, I will be on the sideline with all of my hair being incredibly insane.
I can tell.
Sunmen Kimes, I appreciate you taking time away from dunking on your daughter on Twitter to make me feel good about myself and this final.
All right. I'll keep trolling her and keep roasting her to make you happy. All right, Pablo. Be well.
I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Steve Martin, Ryan Nantel, Happy Birthday Ryan, Andy Tennant, Eve Troh, Chris Tumanello, and Aaron Vale. Happy birthday, Aaron. Special thanks this week to Garrett Lang, Timotayo Anju, Gavin Cote, and Jackson Ugelo. I'll talk to you Monday.